in the year on the date of Makara Sankranti, which is January 14th every year, the sun changes from moving in the south to moving in the north. And when the sun is moving in the south, that, yes, this is an important point, that one day of the demigods is equal to 1 year of us humans. So when, so during those 6 months when the sun is in the southern course, the demigods are taking rest. And during that period, there are no like social or religious functions. And then after Makara Sankranti, when the sun changes its course to the north, the demigods wake up, and then there are all sorts of social and religious activities. But the period, which is the month we're in now, Kartik, that is the Brahma Muhurta of the demigods. So it's, so it's a very special time. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, has compared the month of Kartik to a sale in a store. Like if a store opens, it will have a sale to attract customers. And during the sale, you can get something worth more by paying less. So in the same way, in the month of Kartik, with a relatively lesser investment of time and energy, one can get a greater result. In fact, it's said that the value of one's devotional service rendered in the month of Kartik is multiplied 1,000 times. And consequently, devotees, they don't even have to be devotees, people take advantage of the month of Kartik to begin to chant or to chant more, or to begin to read or to read more scripture, and somehow or other increase their spiritual practices, and at the same time perhaps decrease their sense gratification, or some make an effort to overcome maybe some bad habit, at least for that month. So then along with those types of practices, we have the daily recitation of the Damodar Astaka and offering of lamps. Now, Damodar, this month is famous for the Damodar Lila, and in the Damodar Leela. If you can bring that picture. So Dhamma Dhamma means rope, and Udar means belly. So Damodar is a form of Krishna whose belly was tied by ropes, tied with ropes by Mother Yashoda. This is depicted here. And the history of that pastime, of course, there's like a basic philosophical understanding that one should have, which is that Krishna, according to Vedic literature, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the father of every living entity. He is unborn. But still, in this spiritual realm, one can have a direct relationship with Krishna in one of five rasas, or relationships. So one rasa is shantaras, which is, you could say, passive appreciation. Then there's dasi ras, which is active service. Then sakiras, which is friendship. Vatsalyaras, which is parental affection. And madhuryaras, which is conjugal love. So if a devotee wants to have Krishna as a son, then Krishna will reciprocate and play the part of the perfect son. So Krishna's eternal mother is Yashoda. But other devotees can also have a maternal or paternal relationship with Krishna, if that is their soul's desire. So this pastime, which is celebrated during the whole month, actually took place on the day of Diwali. On this occasion, Mother Yashoda was feeding baby Krishna milk from her breast. And that milk was actually her love, prema. But before Krishna was satisfied, some milk that was on the fire started to boil over. So Mother Yashoda left baby Krishna before he was satisfied and went to tend to the overflowing milk. And Krishna, playing the part of a small child, became angry. And he broke a pot of butter and began to eat it out of whatever anger, frustration, to make himself feel better. And after Mother Yashoda finished dealing with the milk that was overflowing, she returned to where she had left baby Krishna. And he, of course, knew he had done something wrong. So he ran away. He fled from the scene. But because there was butter everywhere, his footprints, his feet were smeared with butter, so Mother Yashoda could follow his footprints. And he was running, and he was quite fast, and she was, you know, she had a bigger body. It wasn't easy for her to catch him. And Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes this incident and which is considered the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam describes that even the greatest yogis try to capture Krishna, but they can't. But still, Mother Yashoda was trying because she wanted to discipline Krishna. She thought that if she doesn't discipline him, he may develop in the wrong way. So she wanted to catch him and bind him with ropes. Not as a partly as a punishment, but partly to prevent him from further mischief. So, seeing her sincere desire out of love and her hard labor, Krishna allowed her to catch him. So, having caught him, she wanted to bind him with ropes, as I mentioned. But the ropes were the width of 2 fingers, or sometimes said 2 inches, or the width of 2 fingers short. Now, this was quite surprising to Mother Yashoda, because every morning when she would dress little Krishna, she would tie a belt around his waist, and there was never any problem. But somehow the ropes were 2 inches too short. So she got more ropes, and they were still 2 inches too short. And she got more ropes, and they were still 2 inches too short. And she had a lot of ropes because they were like a cow herd community. And they had a lot of ropes. She kept joining all the ropes. Her friends, neighbors, they brought their ropes. There was probably miles of ropes. But it was still 2 inches too short. Couldn't cover the distance around Krishna's belly. So, seeing Mother Yashoda's hard labor, by his mercy, he allowed himself to be bound. And in the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 2 very important words. One is parishram, which means endeavor or hard labor. And the other is Krishna kripa, which means Krishna's mercy. So the Bhagavatam describes that, you know, seeing his mother's hard labor, out of his mercy, he allowed himself to be bound. And our acharyas, learned scholars in the devotional line, have explained that the 2 inches or the distance of 2 fingers can be covered in this way, that one finger represents our endeavor and the other finger represents Krishna's mercy. And when that combination comes together of Parashram and Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa, Krishna can be bound. And we want to bind Krishna, but we want to be bound to Krishna, and we want to bind Krishna in our hearts. And by the, you know, serious practice of bhakti yoga, one can come to that stage of having a direct relationship with Krishna in one of those 5 relationships. And so Mother Yashoda, she was in that, had maternal love for Krishna. So even though he's unborn and eternal and has no beginning and no end, and even though he's the father of every living entity, he, because of her desire to serve him as a mother, he agreed to play the part of her son. So she bound him, and she tied him to a wooden grinding mortar, a big one, which she thought would contain him. But Krishna, although he was playing the part of a small child, and by the influence of a special energy of his called Yoga Maya, the residents of Vrindavan, they're not aware that Krishna is God. And sometimes Krishna himself, under the influence of Yoga Maya, also forgets that he's God. But when necessary, he remembers. Yoga Maya allows him to remember. So while so the ropes were tied around his belly and it was attached to this large mortar. And so he started to crawl in the courtyard of the house, and he came to 2 trees, Yama Arjuna trees, and he crawled between the two and the wooden grinding mortar lodged between the two of them, and, you know, demonstrating his supernatural power, he kept crawling, and the grinding mortars pulled down these 2 trees, and out of these 2 trees came 2 dazzling demigods. And the history of these demigods is that they were sons of Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. very opulent. And these two sons of Kubera, Manigriva and Nalakuvara, were bathing naked with some ladies in a heavenly lake when the great sage Narada passed by. And the ladies, they immediately felt ashamed and they covered themselves. But these two boys were so intoxicated with their opulence and position that they didn't show any respect to the sage Narada, and so he cursed them to take birth as trees. Trees are people who are excessively fond of being naked take birth as trees, because trees can stand naked for a long time, and they're beautiful. People admire the beauty of the naked trees. So they took birth being, so Narada cursed them to take birth as trees. But you know, the curse of a great devotee is also a blessing. So they took birth as trees, but they took birth, you know, in the courtyard or in the grounds of the home of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And so Krishna ultimately delivered them from their bondage in the form of trees by pulling down the trees. And then, you know, these two dazzling demigods came out, and you know, they offered prayers to Krishna, and Krishna warned them, you know, not to be intoxicated with their opulence. And he sent them back to the heavenly kingdom. So this pastime is summarized in a prayer that devotees recite. It's a regulated principle. They recite every day during the month of Damodar, called the Damodarastika, which we are going to sing now.